Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast. Our guest today is Tim Pereira, founder and performance coach of Per Wellness. With over 10 years in sales, Tim transitioned from a successful tech career to guide men in breaking free, gaining clarity, and living healthy lives aligned with their passions. Tim's journey reflects the struggle of achieving success while feeling stuck and battling burnout. As the visionary behind Per Wellness, Tim helps individuals understand their current state, eliminate hindering habits, and live with ease and freedom. Fired during the pandemic, Tim's transformation led him to combine his passion for physical and mental health. Now he helps men achieve lasting results through coaching and a proven framework. Get ready for an inspiring conversation on entrepreneurship, wellness, and leadership with our guest, Tim Pereira. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Oh, man, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the introduction. That was awesome.
Yeah, of course. All right. So if you could please give us a little more detailed background on yourself and how you transitioned from a career in sales to now a performance coach and founder of Per Wellness.
Yeah, well, I definitely did not think I was going to be a coach. I can at least say that. I know coaching is kind of hot right now. So I think it's important to point that out. I grew up playing a lot of sports. I was an athlete, was a high performer, you know, kind of did well in school. And once I stopped playing baseball after college, I just had this engine, this motivation that needed direction. It needed, you know, like, hey, what's next? How can I just kind of direct this drive to grow and to succeed and to perform? And so naturally, I think like a lot of people, I found sales. And so I was in sales for a bit and was just really kind of on that grind of just trying to move up the ladder, trying to perform, make as much money as possible, get stock options. I ended up going into tech because it was very sexy and lucrative at the time, about 2015. And, and did really well and got some promotions, ended up really landing a good gig. I got to move from San Francisco to New York City to manage my own, kind of team of sales reps in this office to help turn the office around. And anyway, I share that because after getting all the achievements I pretty much set out to get, I was making the money. I had the awesome apartment in New York and was doing all the things. Things really started to feel off internally. And, I was somebody who's been very passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, all these little hacks here and there. But I really, really did not understand the inner game and mental well-being and emotional regulation and stress management. And I share that because I kept trying to succeed, to make up for it. I kept trying to earn more. I changed jobs. I changed cities. I kept trying to perfect my external world. And 4 years of doing that went by and I kept slipping lower and lower and lower and went through a long period of depression and ultimately until I lost my job in sales for just missing quota. And I went from President's Club, high performer, managing, high performing sales teams to just not being good at sales, not being able to execute. And that was really the turning moment for me. I realized everything I was trying to improve or change externally just hadn't been working. And really, I ended up hearing the idea that everything, all meaning, good or bad, is just created within our own mind. And for whatever reason, when I heard that at that time, it just really, really resonated. It really just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was, I was like, oh my gosh, it's me. I'm doing this to myself. And so that was really the catalyst for me to add to my, wellness regimen, you could say. And I started exploring the mind. I started learning about, hey, why do I feel certain emotions, these things that come up? Why do I feel depressed? Why am I anxious? And starting to learn to understand the inner workings of the mind. And after doing that for about a year and a half and sharing about how it was working for me, how I was transforming my life, I turned things around, I started this business. I kind of fell into coaching. I just had a lot of men reach out asking how I did it, asking if they could just talk to me, if they could share, if they, man, I'm going through something similar, you
Yeah.
know. So I share that just because that's kind of just how I ended up getting into coaching and working with guys, and so that's where we're at today.
That's such a great story. You hear about similar situations where people go into this depression, but they don't come out of it, and just continue to go down that spiral effect. So it's great to hear that you came out on the other end, but at the same time sharing it with so many people. So it's truly inspiring. So thanks for sharing that, man.
Of course.
So, in your experience, what are some common signs or indicators that individuals may be on the verge of burnout, especially in high pressure environments like sales or entrepreneurship?
Well, I think a lot of few things come to mind. I think physical sensations would be just, you know, feeling of tenseness anywhere in your body, stress, you know, I think of anxiety. A lot of people feel it in their chest, some people the back of their head, neck, you know, and then a lot of intrusive thoughts, a lot of just thinking about work, a lot of kind of like this doom and gloom, what's next, you know, like really worrying. And like it's one thing to think about and plan and strategize what we need to do in our career, let's say, right? But when that just starts to take over and the cycle perpetuates and it just plays on repeat and it drives us into a survival state, meaning we're anxious, we're worried, we feel overwhelmed, we're exhausted. Those are big warning signs. You know, more subtle warning signs, like things I know happened for me, is when I started to get out of my regular routine, my regular habits, when I started to show up differently, my friends and family, maybe I was a little bit less present. Maybe I was drinking a little bit more alcohol than normal. You know, maybe I was skipping. I know a big thing for me is I started to skip my 5 a.m. workouts in the gym. I never did that. You know, like I did that for years. And then so when this started to happen, I noticed all of a sudden it was 3 weeks. I'm like, man, I haven't gone to the gym, you know, in the morning. Maybe your screen time's going up. You're leaning more on social media to kind of numb these uncomfortable feelings and escape in a way. So I look for any type of escape, whether it may be some drugs, you know, maybe spending a little bit more time on YouTube, on Netflix. Not that those things are bad, inherently bad, but instead we can use those as a mirror or a signal to be like, hey, is something off here? My behavior is changing. I know I'm feeling a certain way. You know, maybe you're finding more comfort in food. Maybe you've put on a few pounds because you're just like leaning on food for comfort to handle stress, right? Maybe you're, of course, big one would be like, I'm not able to sleep. I think that would be a pretty massive signal. So there's just some little things and some big things that can really point towards, hey, something is off. The word I like to use is misaligned. Something is really misaligned with how we're acting, what we're showing up and doing every day versus how we want to, really how we want to be living.
Yeah, it's almost like you fall into an escape without really knowing you're doing it, right?
Yes, exactly. And the last part you said is really important because for most people, they're unconscious of it until it gets too extreme. So it's a little slip here and there. The mind is really tricky like that. It won't make it so obvious. It'll do it here. It'll convince us, hey, we're just going to do this one time. We'll do this one time over here. And then next thing we know, if we can really, so I encourage you guys to really zoom out and have perspective of what their life has looked like in the last few months. Right, because it happens really without us knowing a lot of the time until we work on the muscle of awareness and perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about, because I think everybody goes through it, including myself. I know that you mentioned Netflix or anything, even just being on your phone and pulling up a game or something, just to lose your mind a bit, but it's those little things that can continue to add up instead of just really taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture. So yeah, that's great information. So you speak a lot about the importance of prioritizing well-being while still achieving professional success. And that's pretty difficult for a lot of people to do. They either seem to choose one or the other. So how do you personally strike a balance between working hard and taking care of your mental and physical health?
To me, my philosophy is if I want to show up as the best version of myself in my business, if I want to, you know, help the most men, if I want to write the best content, if I want to get the most newsletter signups or best open rates or, link clicks or, enrollments in my programs or signups to my retreats, which people would consider business success, right? I have to take care of myself because the engine that is driving those actions and those results is me. And I know what it feels like when I'm off. I know what it feels like when I don't get great sleep, when I eat like crap, when I'm not in the gym. I feel sluggish. I'm not as clear. I don't think with as much clarity. I don't have as much focus. I don't have as much energy. My attention span is way less. I'm not present. I'm not still. I start acting from a place of, I need this client, right? Or I'm overwhelmed. I'm worried about what's to come. It's like, if I'm living from that place, I show up as a totally different human. Right. And so this is why it never, never makes sense to me it's not an either or game. Our well-being is the foundation, whether you want to admit it or not, and especially the mental well-being, right? Our mindset, what's going on internally is the ultimate foundation to everything we want to create in life. Every single action we take is based on the quality of the thoughts we have and our ability to handle uncomfortable feelings and emotions. Right? Why do people procrastinate? Why do people say they know what to do, but they don't do it? Right? Why do people set goals, but they never follow through? Is because when push comes to shove, there becomes a moment when a difficult feeling comes up. And instead of facing it head on and knowing how to deal with it, they choose comfort. They choose reverting back to what's familiar. And so for me, it's imperative for us to work on our well-being. And what that means for me is physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. And how I define spiritual well-being is not about a belief system, but is simply, our level of self-connection and our level of consciousness and just awareness truly with what's going on. So I don't think it's an either-or thing. For me, one is a foundation, and then the other is the building that we're trying to build on top of it.
Yeah, with that negativity can come self-doubt, right? In any aspect of life, whether it's your home life, work life, health. So how do you help people break free from that self-doubt and regain confidence, especially when their worth is closely tied to the career achievements?
It's a great question. And I think ultimately is becoming aware of the thought patterns that are driving that. The more we can become aware of where these thoughts are coming from. And really what I help men understand is not just where these thoughts are coming from, but why. Inherently we all have this survival mechanism, right? The egoic mind, I like to call it the survival mind with the guys I work with. And by nature, this part of us is rooted in inadequacy, insecurities, fears, scarcity. And so, if we can just bring awareness to that and understand that this is really what has been driving us, like when we're not aware of it, when we're not conscious of it, when we don't work on it, we're not present, like these are going to be, the majority of the thoughts that come up. So, first, we have to really understand this and then learn like where these are coming from, whether it's something that happened to us when we were a kid and we learned a way to adapt, right? We learned a way to fit in. We learned how to be loved by our parents. We learned that, hey, when I did really well in basketball and I made a bunch of threes, my dad showed me a lot more love, for example. So as a kid, you can internalize that and be like, hey, this is how I need to act in order to be loved and accepted. And so what happens is we take a lot of those narratives and a lot of those experiences and that conditioning that happened to us when we were a kid, right? Which of course at the time we weren't conscious of those things happening and those beliefs becoming wired, and that's okay. And there's no shame or judgment or anything with that. We just, again, like I said, we had to become aware of it. But what happens is we then bring that into adulthood and we have those same fears and insecurities driving our actions, right? So it shows up, it can show up as self-doubt, it can show up as negativity, right? And so what's really important is to, I think, first excavate the stories, but also dissect them and really see like why. Where is this general sense or belief of negativity coming from? Where is this belief of self-doubt coming from? Because what happens is if it goes unchecked, if it goes unexamined, if we just accept it and we're unconscious of this stuff, it's just going to run our life. It's going to stay in the driver's seat. We're never going to be able to do anything about it. So the way through it is to look at it. And to really question, is this actually true? And most importantly, is this serving me, right? Is this feeling, is this thought loving to me for one, but is this serving me? Is this in alignment with the person I want to become? Because really at its core, these beliefs are just choices. Okay, a thought comes up. We can't control our thoughts. They're arising. But a thought begins to have power when we believe it. And so that's why we really have to go back to the source, right? We have to go really upstream, where I think of thoughts and beliefs as upstream, and things like actions and results are very downstream. But most people like to focus on the downstream, or hey, I want to know what to do. I want the results. It's like, okay, well, we have to actually zoom out a little bit and look at what's creating it. So how we do that first is just by dissecting where it's coming from and bringing a lot more awareness to it. And once we start to create, what happens is we create more space for it. We don't feel so at odds with it. We no longer resist these thoughts that come up. We actually can be with them a little bit. And then from there, then we can begin to rewire them, and we can reconstruct and re-architect them so they're more in alignment with the person we truly want to become.
Do you see this happen a lot with the people that you work with? Do you have them dealing with self-doubt and you have to work through those things and try and help them rewire?
And I work with guys who are high performers, high achievers. I think that's a mindset and an inner critic that I'm really familiar with. Tied a sense of self-worth into achievement, into money, into status, what. And so it's just, I feel like it's a language I know really well because it's something I've really dealt with. And so even guys that are achieving a lot, and often those are the guys that feel it even more. So absolutely. A lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of, maybe a lack of confidence, and with that, there can be fuzziness or a lack of clarity. But certainly, yeah, really, really common. Pretty much in every single guy I work with.
And I think that will help a lot of people who are listening to this because I think you always feel like it's just you, you're in your own space, and how can anybody else be dealing with this? And for myself, I know even starting this podcast, for example, you have that self-doubt. It's like, who's going to listen to it? Who's going to be a part of this thing? But even in my management career as well, as you're working up those ranks, it can definitely eat at you. And if you don't work on it, then it can just only get worse. I did want to circle back around. I know we talked about a work-life balance. Balancing the demands of work and personal life can be a significant challenge, particularly in roles that demand a great deal of time and energy. I know I've struggled with it, being five kids at home and a wife, and trying to balance that with an upper management position was difficult to say the least. Many times my health took a back seat because I wanted to ensure I was doing a good job and not letting anybody down. But I'm sure you would agree with this, but a leader's well-being can have a huge impact on ability to lead effectively, right? So, can you speak a little more on why it's imperative that we do have some sort of a work-life balance and why we can't always put others' needs first?
I think what's really important is clarity on what is truly, truly most important to you. Like really create a list with that and understand that when your health is taken from you, if you find yourself on bed rest, you're in the hospital, whatever, nothing else matters except getting better. But we lose that perspective. It's easy to lose. I lose that perspective too, right? And so I think just the more we can remind ourselves of that and be like, man, hey, if I want to show up and be the best leader for my team, if I want to be the best husband, the best father to my kid, like, how do you become the best in that role? You have to take care of yourself, right? It's like I use sports analogies a lot with guys I work with. And it's like, man, if you are the center point of your team, let's say you're a quarterback or you're the star basketball player. It is on you to take care of yourself, to put yourself in the best position to lead and win games and to show up. And you do that by performing your best, right? And most of us, like when we're run by the survival mind, which is, just constantly bombarded with thoughts of less than, not enough, I got to do more. There's fear, there's overwhelm, and all of those, there's nothing wrong with those. But recognizing that those thoughts are not. They're not really serving us. They're not in alignment with who we really want to become and how we want to show up. And so when it comes to the balance, right, if you have a busy schedule, I get it. Not everybody is going to meditate for an hour in the morning and cold plunge and sauna and read for 15 and have this perfect morning routine and work out for 2 hours and get a massage and sit in a hyperbaric chamber for a few hours. It's okay, obviously.
Right.
And so what we have to do instead is get really honest with ourselves and just do the best we can on that day. You know, if you can't go exercise for 60 minutes because you got to pick kids up, you got to do all this stuff, great. Well, what can you do instead? Can you do like a few sets of squats between calls? Can you take the stairs? Right? Can you drop and do some push-ups on the way somewhere? Like, can you just weave this in because it is so important? That's the thing. When it is the most important thing, you find ways to do it instead of making excuses for why you can't. It becomes like, okay, I know it's going to be hard, but how am I going to make this work? And maybe I don't make it work at a level 10 out of 10, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally okay. Maybe today's I'm a level 1.5. Great. Our whole goal is again to keep zooming out and play the long game. How can I do this with consistency? Right? How can I make sure I'm showing up every day for myself with what I need and prioritizing the big blocks, the big chunks like sleep, like the food we're eating, movement we're getting, right? And ultimately, really, I mean, and the big thing with that too is just our internal state, you know, and it doesn't require these hours and hours and hours, you know, every single day to be at that state. But what it does require is intentionality, right? And clarity on what's most important. And you would be amazed at when those things are crystal clear and your values you set out are so freaking clear, decisions become easy, right? You're not going to let something get in your way. You're going to make it happen.
Right. No, absolutely. So when you're working with these high-level clients, you know, or really anybody that you're working with, what does a day-to-day look like for you when you're working with these guys? And what tools do you employ and strategies do you employ to assist leaders in overcoming challenges and regaining momentum and ultimately achieving their professional objectives?
So I actually work, you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier is just like being able to hear what other people are going through, because it can be just be really isolating, especially for men. You know, we don't, it's not really in our nature to just kind of share openly with others, and it can just feel really isolating. We can feel like we're the only ones going through it. We can feel broken. We can be like, hey, man, nobody else talks about it, so nobody else is dealing with this stuff. And that doesn't even mean, you know, deep, deep depression or anxiety. It can just be anything. And so what I do is I actually work in within my community. I have like these group calls we do because there's so much power in us getting together, like-minded guys, really driven guys, successful guys that are all going through something, that want to build healthy habits, want to get back in shape, that want to gain more presence with their kids, that want to, you know, deepen their relationship with their spouse, that want to just get better at work, that want to just be a better leader. How can I connect with my team more? Right? And so, you know, we get together, we meet every week because there's accountability, there's support, and of course, you know, just the collective of everybody sharing and being in it together is so powerful. I used to do only one-on-one coaching, and then just seeing the impact that these small groups have has just made me shift away from one-on-one and just do these exclusively. And so what I have guys do first and foremost is, yeah, I give them some tactical things to do every day. You know, I really, you know, when I think of the fundamentals, the things I focus on, like I mentioned earlier, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Okay. And so for the physical side, it's, hey, how are you taking care of your body? Your body's your vehicle. If you really want to show up and be, you have to start prioritizing that. And that looks different for everybody because different, you know, everyone comes in with different knowledge, different skill set, what they're good at, what they know, you know, of course, what they know with health. So we just start with the basics. I just make sure they're moving. They're prioritizing sleep. They're getting a certain amount of hydration and water. And I also get them set up with just some basic nutrition guidelines. You know, just say, hey, these are some things I want you to focus on eating. Maybe avoid this a little bit. Just very straightforward. You know, everybody goes through my course, my curriculum, which is really understanding the wiring of the mind. I mentioned earlier, bringing awareness to the part of us that is creating these feelings of fear, these feelings of overwhelm, right? And keeping us in what I call this survival mind, this survival state, which is this constant underlying, almost exhausted. It kind of feels like an engine is on and just humming, revving in the background. And so what I really work with guys on is actually just cultivating space, cultivating presence, and cultivating really the stillness throughout their day within different moments of the day. Because what I hear with guys, what they're looking for is just more, a little bit more focus, a little bit more clarity, It just feels like so much is going on. They just don't have a minute to just see clearly and make a decision from that space, right? So we get into understanding the wirings of the mind, why it's wired to keep us in the survival state, and how we can actually rewire that to get us into a much more thriving state, a state that's more aligned with ease and freedom and calm and stillness and confidence and effortless decision making, right? And so, yeah, just some different ways. So it's a little bit of writing prompts I do. I have some worksheets. Again, a bunch of videos I have them do. I even have them dabble with certain guided meditations or breath work, perhaps. Definitely encourage you guys to take cold showers or do cold exposure, just whatever we can do to kind of shock the system out of, introduce new things that just get it out of its rut, get it out of its groove that has been, even though it's been very or excuse me, very painful, it's very familiar and thus very comfortable. So it's hard to get out of those grooves. So there's just some things we do to kind of shock the system a little bit.
I love that you switched it from individuals to groups because I mean anybody who's been a part of groups in any setting, it promotes creativity, and
Yeah.
people, it'll trigger when one person says something, it can trigger another and somebody else,
Yeah.
obviously you're the instructor of it all, and you're kind of laying out the groundwork for all of them, but that triggers all those guys and it becomes collaborative, and these guys can come up with just some great ideas and it might something that somebody tries might resonate with somebody else. So I love that, man. That is really, really cool.
Yeah.
How
Yeah, the guys
can
are great. I mean, honestly, they inspire each other. They hold each other accountable. It's what's so cool. I mean, they're all there for the same reason. And they all want to grow. And so you get that energy in the same space. And it's incredible to see them run with it. Because they're all leaders. They all have that within. And so then once they really start leading themselves, they show up, they lead others, they support each other. So it's just, yeah, it's this amazing, yeah, swell, that builds of energy. So it's really cool to see.
Are there people from all over? Is it people from different parts of the country, or is
Yeah.
it more just in the same?
Yeah, probably 90% are in the US, but yeah, people from all over the world join.
Oh, that is awesome. How big are the groups typically that you have?
So they it really because it's just a it's kind of a rolling program, so it's anywhere between five guys, maybe 5 to 20 guys, I would say, at a time on there. Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, then it's not like it's 150 where, people don't feel comfortable speaking and things like that. So that's great, man.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. How can listeners engage with you and take advantage of those services and maybe even join some of those groups?
Yeah, I would say, I do most of my stuff online is through LinkedIn. And so, can follow me on LinkedIn, can engage with the content. I also write a newsletter every Saturday called The Weekly Dose with just some in wellness insights and tips specifically for high performers and kind of that mindset. And then also through my website, which is perwellness.co. And yeah, and you can just book a call right with me. We can chat about what guys are going through, really want where they want to get to, and what it would look like to get them there. And we can just, yeah, we can chat about what's right for them, whether it's the online program, whether it's an in-person retreat, or maybe something else.
I highly recommend. I've seen some of the newsletters you've put together. I've seen some
Yep.
of those, some of the videos. If you're going through it right now, any of the listeners who are going through it right now, whether it's again, like we talked about throughout this, self-doubt, wellness, make sure you check out Tim's program. I highly recommend it. I definitely think I'm gonna start joining some of those groups, man, just because I think that would be
Yeah.
beneficial to myself as well. So
Yeah.
thanks for sharing that. Again, this will all be in the show notes for anybody who's looking to join those groups and connect with Tim. So I do have one more question before we go. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs who want to take the next step into building something of their own, but are hesitant due to believing they can't balance it all, being happy, healthy, and successful?
Man, I just the power of finding somebody who has done it before, and that is just a few steps ahead of you. It doesn't need to be somebody who has a, $50 million company. It's like, hey, who's someone who's just doing it, and has a little bit of a proof of concept. And just, I mean, it's so to be able to connect with people who are trying to create something similar, that are, again, just a few steps ahead and, are actually doing it or putting in the work or, or taking action like that. That is just so impactful. When I first started, I actually connected with two people who were coached. They had been coaches about a year. One was like two years, maybe three, and then the other was a little bit less than that. And so I was just learning from people who recently were making all the mistakes and going through all the challenges I was going through, and it just helped. It just helped so much. So I would say that, and then you absolutely have to start taking care of yourself, because when you start showing up for yourself, what that does is it cultivates a sense of self-trust and self-belief. And when you show up with discipline every single day, you're taking care of your physical health, you're exercising, you're eating well, you're drinking water, maybe you're writing, you're committed to learning, you're reading, you're meditating. You don't have to do all these, but just as examples. And you're just showing up for yourself because you matter. Right. And you realize, man, this is what's most important to me. And from there, like, you really start creating, the race engine, the race car. Like, that's you. And so we have to absolutely take care of that. And by doing that, by building the skill set of discipline, of consistency, like, the more you can do that in your personal life, it's going to effortlessly transfer into your business life.